Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham, have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In Jesus' name, amen. We had a major milestone event in our household this past week. Our daughter, our youngest, got her driver's license. I do celebrate milestones like these. I'm delighted that our other two children, having their licenses for 4 to 6 years, have neither injured themselves nor others. And I have high hopes for this latest driver. She, at least now, according to the state of Missouri, is free to drive. So I, like a lot of parents, am a megaphone for the accomplishments and achievements of children, my own and others, especially when they're doing things that are somehow consistent with that foundation that we believe, inspired by what our faith calls us to do in the world, and the others are off to great starts in doing that as well. Now I understand not all of us are parents here by any means, but I ask you, how about you? And let's think of it in these terms. The scripture says that we have been given the power to become children of God. So, our God, the Holy One, sometimes referred to as a parent, do you suppose that God delights in affirming your actions, singing your praises, being a megaphone for the activities and the engagements in which you participate? I think we'd say that God is, and God has, complete freedom. How about us? Are we free to exercise our faith? Indeed, what does it mean to live free? Serving as interim campus minister here for Lutheran Campus Ministry, also I'm a reserve Navy chaplain. I'm going to put on that Navy chaplain hat. In the Navy, we actually call it a cover. You might have seen my picture this week in this week's Bethel Connection. If you haven't, then you want to get to it because I think it's obsolete in the next 20 minutes or so. So take a look. There I am giving a benediction with my choker whites on. That's a very complicated uniform that I had to pack and travel to San Diego. I know, it's difficult duty, but someone has to go to San Diego and occasionally to Hawaii. So anyway, out there for the retirement of our medical officer last month, I was wearing that cover. I keep it in the back of my mind. There's a connection to campus ministry. There's a connection to the work that we do as God's agents in a plural society and for the sake of the world. As a federal chaplain in a country without a state-sponsored religion, I'm very interested in intersections of what we might say the First Amendment and the First Commandment. The latter is, of course, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. The First Amendment has to do with freedoms, political freedoms that are provided for us in this country, freedoms such as speech, press, assembly, freedom to worship, freedom of religion, and to exercise our religion. What does it mean to live free? There's a program on NPR called 1A. It has to do with the First Amendment. That's the inspiration for 1A. There was an interesting twist on free speech this week in a program. It was informed by a person's faith. Name is George Maynard, now in his 80s. He lives in Connecticut. He lived for years in New Hampshire, where the state motto on license plates is, "Live free or die." Only Maynard did not want it on his license plate. He passionately disagreed. In short, and you'll have to go listen to the segment, very intriguing, especially if you're interested in constitutional law and the way things work and how some people inspired by faith have brought about changes, bringing liberty or freedom for others. He basically disagreed because, in short, even if he was not free, if he was unfree, he would still rather live. Because if he's dead, he could not serve God. He could not praise God. This was not an easy time when this is coming up. Back in the early 70s, there was the memory of Vietnam. There was various things like Watergate. There were serial killers on the loose that we might know if we study history. It was not, in a lot of ways, a free world. But for him, life, even as it was more valuable than freedom. And so, with a bit of irony, his local government told him he was not free to alter his license plate just because he disagreed with the motto. He didn't want to be a megaphone for that motto. Where does our freedom begin and end? Where do we, informed by our faith, draw the line? Where will we restrain, or when will we restrain our speech, and where will we proclaim? And are there consequences when we exercise our faith, or when we exercise that faith on behalf of those who, because of their station in life, may not have the kind of power or influence that we have? What does it mean to live free? So putting electrical tape over the motto of his license plate violated a state law that prohibited covering or tampering with any letter or number anywhere on the license plate. Eventually, it went to court, and because a police officer stopped him, at which time he said, "I was wondering when you'd catch up to me." They took him to court, and they waived the fine because, you know, he made his case and he was a good, upstanding citizen, only he did not remove the tape from his license plate. So it happened again. Eventually, he was fined. Happened again. Eventually, he was jailed, and his license plates were confiscated. And without a car and having been in jail, he lost his job. Thanks, some years later, to pro bono lawyers, his case was eventually heard by the U.S. Supreme Court, which deemed that the words of the motto on the top of his license plate were speech, and that free speech also meant freedom not to speak. Just as free exercise of religion does mean the freedom not to exercise any religion at all. Yet many of us lay claim to Christ, who has laid claim upon us. And while we rightly reject some of our Lutheran namesake's legacy, this Reformation Day we also lay claim to some of Luther's greatest insights. So what is our Lutheran understanding of God's claim upon us and the implications of that for the claims that we stake in this world, the speeches we make, the votes we cast, the boundaries we break? What does it mean for Lutherans to live free? The scripture today, Jesus addresses this. Jesus said, "If you continue," that is, if you remain, if you abide in me, in this word, which is Jesus, "you are truly my disciples, you'll know the truth, and that truth will set you free. If this God, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." So significantly, at least for the time, Luther pointed out what seems obvious. None of us has asked for life. It's given as a free gift. And for Luther, the people of his time, influenced by Augustine and Anselm's understanding of guilt, Luther emphasized that God's claim upon us was also a freedom from sin and death and the power of evil. All this was granted freely through Christ. So if it was free, then why was the church basically extorting money from people and declaring that they needed to make payments in order to free them from the stain of sin? Now, that was an oversight of the church of the time to which Luther resisted. It seems to me Luther made a kind of a little bit of an oversight in some ways, because it looks to me like the scripture first says that we are originally blessed by God. I know in his tradition and in some of ours, there's an emphasis on an original captivity. They talk about original sin. And in Christ, though, this is the good news, we also originally kind of, as infants, we practice infant baptism, we have not only inherited sin, but we inherit forgiveness. We don't have to do anything for inheritance. We just have to live, and it's given to us freely. That allows us to be, and I recall the title of my confirmation book from decades ago, without prompting, I know what that was called. This freedom in Christ allows us to be free to be, free to be. So what? That's the question. What does it mean for Lutherans to live free? So Monday afternoon, youngest daughter passed her test, and our megaphone initially was not a megaphone at all. It was by text and with a picture attached. There she was, holding her license next to the car. My actual first phone call was to the insurance company. And the agent said, she was very encouraging, I've seen bigger jumps in 6-month premiums than yours, but but yes, your rates will go up. Freedom comes with a price, or I guess an opportunity. Congratulations, Leanna. We are excited for you earning that. She's here today. But there is a cost to it. Like Mr. Maynard recognized, in exercising freedom, he lost his car. He lost his job. He went to jail. He didn't quite say it this way, but the reality is life is full of certain risks, of obstacles, of costs, of challenges, of choices, of opportunities, we might say. We're freely created. We're blessed. But that's not the entire story. Luther said it this way, a Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject of all, and subject to all. Yes, Lutherans are invited to live into that paradox of being completely free, but having a freedom that binds us to our neighbor. What's the last part of that great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Or if that doesn't work, Jesus said as well, love as Christ has loved you, putting the needs of the people ahead of his own. Some would say there's a risk of Lutheranism in politicizing our faith. I think that's nonsense. Politicizing, it's just from the word polis, which means the city. It's just making our faith public. I believe the risk, not just with Lutheranism, but with some aspects of the Protestant Reformation, is not politicizing, but privatizing our religion. I know that was my experience. I got the personal connection. I got that Jesus died for me. That was very clear. And even if I've adapted or evolved in my understanding, I have embraced the fact that I'm here by sheer grace. That's a gift. But I'm also aware that we're called to live for something else, this foundation that's given to us. We have auto insurance, both to respond to carelessness or accidents caused by all hazards, but to make sure that other motorists have recourse. They're not left alone. We wrestle with freedom, but we recognize that there are abuses of it. This kind of motto from New Hampshire, this action hero, anti-oppression tenor of live free or die, well, we know that sometimes when people just live free without consideration for the world or for their neighbor, then it's live free and die. Lutherans look at it differently. I'll take this gem from St. Paul, who points out this from Romans 6:5. Since we've been united with Christ in a death like his, we will be united with him in a resurrection like his. In other words, we would say, die and live free. There, at the waters of baptism, right? That's the powerful sacrament which shows to others that even as infants, and this is why we emphasize it, and in the chaplain corps, that's how they break us up. Oh, you're the baby baptizers, and then you have all the others in Christianity. Yes, we are. We're the baby baptizers, and it's very significant, not that we won't baptize others that are older, but it's so significant that this one who essentially is helpless, this one who has not shown that they can contribute to society at that point, this one who you could argue has been strictly a burden to a family as far as financial costs and obligations, yes, there's beauty and there's wonder in that, and we hope to be able to sound the megaphone for that little one. But at the outset, we say this one is claimed by Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ. Not for a little while, not till death do us part even, but forever. And then, at least when I practiced it, we also see that candle burning, and at the very end of that rite of holy baptism, we light a candle from the Christ candle, and we hold that up and we say, let your light so shine before others that they might see your good works and glorify God in heaven. We die and we live free. Because God freeing us has freed us in order to accomplish that for which we pray and for which we'll pray today, that God's reign, God's regime, traditional language, God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. On the front of the baptismal certificate, we put in writing, this one is God's forever. We could say on the back, we have a license there. And to switch the metaphors just a little bit, it's letting that light shine. It's that possibility, that promise, that we have a God who who is only too happy to sing our praises when we get it right. And so many times we do, for the sake of God's creation, for all God's people. Lutherans, Christians, sisters, and brothers, we have died in Christ. And now we're to the rest of that story. We are living free in Jesus' name. Amen.